NPR. So this weekend, I went shopping for glasses.
New glasses?
Yeah, new glasses, but shopping for glasses, it can be a pain in the tuchus.
Tuchus?
Tuchus. It can be a pain in the tuchus.
This is NPR. There's another word for it. Fine, I get it. Okay.
I mean, come on. You can't see. They're so expensive. What if your insurance doesn't cover them?
Yeah, it's a big deal, right? Like, it's a stressful thing to buy. I happen to know, Sally, you went to Warby Parker, right?
It's true. Yeah. It's true, I did.
I mean, I bring that up in part because Warby Parker is one of those brands that started online, and now it's moving to opening stores in real life, IRL. And this is actually a trend called clicks to bricks. So another company that's doing it is Casper.com. It sells mattresses. And you can kind of understand why, in the case of Warby Parker or Casper, you'd open stores in the real world. Because, like, when you're buying a mattress, you kind of want to try it before you buy. You want to bounce on it a little bit. You want to make sure it's the right thickness, the right firmness. You don't want to have to return a mattress.
No, because who has a box big enough for a mattress just lying around? And it's not just companies like Warby Parker and Casper.com that make stuff like mattresses or glasses, because it totally makes sense. I can totally understand why you need a physical mattress store. But stores that sell other things like shoes or sweaters or lingerie, things you can easily order online and have shipped to you, they are continuing to open brick and mortar stores. This is Clicks to Bricks version 2.0. I'm Sally Herships in for Stacey Vanek Smith.
And I'm Cardiff Garcia. Plus, a whole new industry has actually grown up around helping these online retailers sell their goods in the brick and mortar store in the real world. So today on The Indicator, Clicks to Bricks, the second wave. We look at why it's happening. So even though brick and mortar stores are expensive, retailers continue to open them.
Whoosh. That's the second wave.
Nice.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Google Domains. Google Domains helps make your business a reality with the tools and partners for building your website like a pro, and premium security features included for free. Make it happen at domains.google/NPR. Support also comes from Fundrise, innovating the way people can invest in real estate. Fundrise makes it simple to build a portfolio of high-quality real estate affordably. Visit fundrise.com/built and get your first 6 months of advisory fees waived.
You're about to listen to a promo reel from a company called LeapInc.com. It's a consultant for online retailers who want to open physical retail stores but need a bit of help.
Getting the store up and running has been pretty easy, seamless. It's been a 6-week turn, and we've developed a store, had it built out basically in about 3 days. At Leap, we're building a platform that enables brands to execute their retail strategy totally turnkey, soup to nuts.
They take a huge amount of workload off our shoulders.
You may be wondering, why would someone need help figuring out how to open an old-fashioned brick-and-mortar store? I mean, this is hardly a new technology we are talking about here. But retail in a physical location can add a whole bunch of new complications for businesses that are used to operating just online. You have to find a location, negotiate a lease, pay the rent, hire human staff, figure out how to lay out an actual physical store, not just the website, how the lights turn on, the alarm system, Cardiff. There's a lot of stuff.
Yeah, they're complicated and they're expensive. You'd think, why bother? But actually, there are a number of reasons that successful e-commerce companies want to open these physical stores. Nicole Lineback Ryla is a retail consultant who runs a company called Retail Minded. And she says the first reason that a retailer might want a brick and mortar location is for returns.
If you know that the size 8 jeans you ordered are a little too snug, but you can immediately go to your local thrift store and get that size 10 versus the back and forth, right?
She says, right. Because sure, you can return stuff you buy online, but I am cheap and I am lazy.
And I'm with you.
Yeah, right? Returning things takes time. I mean, okay, sure. We could find a box, get out the packing tape and the scissors, print out the label. But if we can save by not having to pay shipping and just take that shirt and toss it in my backpack and return something on my way home from work at a physical store, that is a win all around.
Yeah, and you're like talking to somebody who's definitely putting the transaction through instead of like mailing it back into the void, you know, and not knowing what's going to happen.
Or when you're going to get your refund back.
Exactly. Now, clearly a business is not going to open a physical store and pay rent and pay all those other bills just to let customers return things. That wouldn't quite be worth the hassle. But returning something is also an opportunity for a retailer, because then that customer will, of course, be in the physical store and might look around and buy something else. And in fact, a recent study from Wharton found that customers who enter a physical store end up spending more, and the products they do buy are more expensive.
And there is another plus to returning items at a physical store. Nicole says the longer inventory is out of stock, the older it gets, the more it risks getting marked down or returned again. So she says returns mean inventory gets back onto store shelves more quickly. But if customers are not returning products, Nicole says retailers are going to have to work very hard to get consumers into their brick and mortar stores.
I always say, what is making your customer hit pause? If they keep walking, they're not hitting pause, and you want them to hit pause.
And one way to get shoppers to hit pause is to give them an experience. And I'm putting the word experience in air quotes because that's a real buzzword these days. It is something that can be easier to do in real life than online. Brian Gildenberg is a retail expert with Kantar, a research firm.
My favorite example of an experience is the Canada Goose stores, where rather than really overthinking the experience, they just have a freezer. put this coat in the freezer. You'll see that it's warm.
Yeah, if they let you out and you don't get hacked to bits while you're in there, what kind of a freak show is this?
Wait, what?
Come on into this freezing cold room. We're going to close the door behind you. What is that?
That's
like something out of Goodfellas. Are you kidding me?
This just got really dark.
Yeah.
Just in case you don't know, Canada Goose is an actual brand. It sells expensive, high-end down coats, totally not suspicious. And while using a freezer to sell coats may not sound super high-tech, it does require a physical store to do so. But Brian says brands have to be careful not to get too flashy or jazzy with experiences, which can then distract from the real business at hand, which is, after all, selling.
The thing that flagship stores always forget to do, they forget to make it easy to buy stuff.
Consultants helping online retailers get into the real world have another strategy in mind, partnerships. For example, one of Warby Parker's first physical locations was a kiosk in the lobby of a hotel in West Hollywood. Partnerships can also mean that small online businesses don't have to carry the lease for an entire space or cover payroll for a whole staff. And big businesses do partnerships too. Amazon, for instance, has a deal with the department store Kohl's, which lets Amazon shoppers pick up and return stuff at any Kohl's store in the country.
Any reason you need to leave home 10 years from now will probably be available in a retail store.
That is somehow not comforting. Kohl's also has a partnership with Planet Fitness, a gym. It's leasing the gym space next door. That means Kohl's saves on its rent and it hopes will bring in new customers. Maybe they'll pick up a yoga mat or a pair of leggings after their Pilates class without having to read through all those online reviews or wait for whatever they ordered online only to find out it doesn't fit. It's interesting, though, because it used to be that stores would go online to help increase sales, and now online stores are going to the real world to help increase sales.
Absolutely. And what that tells you is that the best way to reach your consumer is however they want to be reached and wherever they want to be reached.
Nicole Lineback-Ryla says a brick-and-mortar sales strategy is really all about one thing, being everywhere that the consumer is.
I believe that the path to purchase is not straight. Period. You know, there are going to be twists and turns. There are going to be road bumps. There's going to be accidents, if you will, from a brand or retailer perspective. But the consumer is still on a path to purchase always. What triggers us individually to buy is different.
So retailers can't count on consumers to behave and shop in any one way. We're shopping online, in stores, at least I am, on social media, while we are watching TV, while we are listening to podcasts.
Not our podcast.
No, not,
right?
No.
Too absorbing, too engrossing,
oh my God,
to be distracted by retail.
But what this means is that if a retailer wants to be successful, they need to be with us all the time in all the places.
This episode of The Indicator from Planet Money was produced by Emily Lang, and The Indicator is a production of NPR. And I'm still not getting in that cold room. They're going to lock the door. and chop some people up.
You live in a dark world.
Canada Goose. I've just seen Goodfellas too many times. All right.